from KQED.
Let's move now to Monterey County and spend some time focused on two significant injuries that occurred during last year's Sabranos wildfire. Both of the men who were injured were fighting the fire. One man lost his life. Experts say it has shined a light on the dangers of what we're going to call the wildfire gig economy. KQED's Ted Goldberg has been looking into this issue, and he joins me now. Good morning, Ted.
Morning.
One of the things you found is that workers from all over California get called in for jobs at a moment's notice, but they don't have some of the basic protections that staff firefighters do. What does that mean?
So, for instance, Robert Reagan, the bulldozer operator who died in the Sabranos fire in July, was called to an area that was just like you described. It was actually in the middle of the night. And as he was using his bulldozer to drive a fire line, he was blocked by another vehicle. He had to back up. And eventually his massive machine basically flipped down a hillside. He flew out of it and the bulldozer pinned him to the ground, crushed him, and he died. Now, another incident that took place several months later involved a water tender driver who survived. John Tiersma was driving a massive water tanker. As he was driving, the road underneath him gave way. I spoke to him from his home in Dunsmuir. He told me what happened.
Stuff was just flying around. Dirt was coming in. I thought I was goner. And I prayed to God to deliver me, and he did.
That crash broke or cracked 12 of his ribs, bruised his spleen, and broke his capula. He had blood in his lungs, and one lung had a leak into his chest cavity. Now, what we learned in looking into both of these cases is that both of these men were private contractors who worked for small companies who didn't have workers' compensation insurance. Without that insurance, John Tiersma, the man whose voice you just heard, has had trouble paying for his medical bills, which you could see cost quite a lot of money, and the relatives of the bulldozer operator who died are left having trouble getting any compensation from his death.
These men who are operating the water truck and the bulldozer and other workers like them, are they doing this full time? Or is this really truly a kind of gig thing where they get called in the middle of the night, they go and do this, and the work is real hit and miss and real spotty?
I think it's really hit and miss. For instance, the documents that we got from Cal OSHA actually show a string of text messages between Ian Zerbin, the guy who runs Zerbin Concrete Construction, and who's believed to be his friend, Robert Reagan. And it's basically very casual language. Hey, bro, I need some help. Can you come over and work on this fire with me? And the guy, Robert Reagan, checks, no, I'm not working a fire right now. I can go. And this sort of dynamic takes place all fire season long and every year. These folks, as I mentioned before, John Tiersma comes from Dunsmuir, and he had worked other large fires in other places of the state. So they move from all over, and they do get brought in at a moment's notice.
So it seems like if you are one of these gig operators and somebody texts you and says, hey, bro, need help, you need to text back and say, hey, bro, got workers' comp insurance?
I think there's an argument to be made that nobody is taking responsibility for both of these men and both of their families. Cal Fire, Cal OSHA, the state, they point to this small independent firm and say it's your responsibility. You should have had workers' compensation. It's your fault that you didn't make sure that Robert Reagan was wearing a seatbelt. At the same time, this is a massive state government. If a small firm doesn't have the kind of benefits that it should for one of its employees, I think there's an argument to be made that the state should consider filling that gap.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me because earlier in this program, we heard from Senator Ricardo Lara of Los Angeles, who said he's going to do everything he can to keep people who work on the border wall from contracting with California. It seems like before they start worrying about that, they should really be working to make sure that they can do everything they can, that if a company, like you just said, may not have workers' comp insurance, is not contracting with the state of California first.
There are tons of people at Cal Fire, and I would assume so at the U.S. Forest Service, who deal in the massive amount of paperwork that this involves. I looked at Zerbin's application. I looked at all of his insurance documentation, and it is a lot. And if you multiply that by the number of contractors that these agencies deal with on an annual basis, I can understand how something as small as an insurance compensation policy expiring might fall through the cracks. It's just not something that is aggressively sought after. They rely on the private sector to basically police itself.
As they do in so many other regulatory capacities. Ted Goldberg, outstanding investigative work. You can find it at kqed.org. Ted, thanks very much.
Thank you.
I'm Amy Standen.
And I'm Judy Campbell.
And we are excited to announce that the Leap podcast is back.
Check out our new season of stories. It's about people in the midst of dramatic, risky change.
Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Just search The Leap.